tonight. If you would go to James chapter number 1 this evening, James chapter number 1, and I want to give you the thought that the Lord has given us, and it's our desire to be a help to you tonight, and certainly feel like this text will be a blessing and a help to you this evening. But I want you to look in James chapter number 1 with us this evening, and we'll read verses 1 through 12. And you pray for us tonight that the Lord would help us and use us, be a blessing and a help to you tonight. Amen. James chapter number 1, look with us if you will in verse number 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, and so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for, Father, the gift of life, and Lord, all of the things that you, by your grace, allow us to enjoy. Father, Lord, more than that, we're thankful for the gift of eternal life, for Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, as we've gathered together in this place, Lord, around your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that's already been done, for the songs that have been sung. But Lord, we come to the word of God, and we ask you, Lord, that you would help us. Father, that you would draw us closer to yourself, and Lord, that you'd strengthen our faith. And God, that you would encourage us, Lord, in our hearts tonight. God, we don't know what people are facing. We don't know what the folks are going through, but Lord, you do. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them and work in their life, Father, as you see fit. But Lord, I pray tonight, God, that we would be willing vessels, Lord, to receive what you have for us, and Lord, to learn, Lord, from trials, learn from difficulty, the lesson that you would have us to learn. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When we come to the epistle of James, of course, he begins in verse number 1, and we find the distinction concerning this letter. Verse number 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, the distinction of this author is that he is James. He calls himself the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is believed that this is the James that was the brother of the Lord. He lived in the same household that the Lord Jesus Christ did. And as a matter of fact, he was one of the ones that resisted the message of the gospel. He resisted the Christhood or the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and did not believe until after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as adamant as James was to reject the message of the gospel, once he received it, if you know anything tonight about the book of James, it could be said like this, that it is Christianity in shoe leather tonight. Amen. James is adamant about his walk with God, and he is adamant about these New Testament Christians walking with God, and he begins to open up and just directly deals with some things right out of the gate. that not only, of course, helped the early church, but would help you and I tonight. And so we see the distinction, but then we see that he is writing to the dispersion. Notice what the Bible says. It is the servant of God. He is the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, these were early Jewish Christians. Because of the persecution there in Jerusalem, they had fled. They have left, much like what is called the diaspora that was to come. These Jewish Christians were scattered abroad, and James is writing to them to encourage them in their faith. Even though they have fled, even though they've been dispersed because of persecution, he encourages them concerning their trials and concerning their temptations tonight. And so we see the distinction, we see the dispersion, but then notice the delight in verse number 2. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." James is writing to these New Testament Christians concerning their trials tonight. Amen. Now there's a whole lot of different people, of course, in the early New Testament church, just as there are many different people here tonight. We come from different walks of life, but there's one thing that we all have in common tonight, and we'll all face difficulty, and we'll all face trials, and we'll all face temptations in this life tonight. Amen. But I want you to notice tonight in verse number 3, James with assurance, he said, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Tonight, that word trying, that statement, trying of your faith, that word trying carries the definition and it carries the meaning of trustworthiness tonight. In other words, God is saying this, when God puts things upon us and God allows us to pass through the fire tonight, there is a trustworthiness that is developed in our heart and our life tonight. And I want to preach on this thought for a few moments tonight. Can God trust you with a trial? Can God trust you with a trial? As we've already said, all of us will face difficulty. Many of us have. I understand that I've not graduated from the school of affliction. I've not faced a whole lot in my young life, but there are some of you tonight, you've been through difficulty. You've heard the bad report from the doctor. You've lost the loved ones. You've went through the difficulty, but you've come through it tonight because of the faithfulness of the Savior. And what God is trying to express to you tonight and express to those that he allows to pass through the trials and the temptations of life is that God can trust you with what he allows to pass into your life tonight. Amen. He makes the statement in verse number 2 that they were to count it all joy when they fell into divers temptations. As we examine this tonight, I want you to see, first of all, when it comes to being trusted with this trial, there is not only a trustworthiness on our part, or rather on God's part, of being able to see us through in the trials, but we ourselves can trust the Lord. I notice, number one, I see the guidance of temptation in verse number 2. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." James is writing to a crowd that's been persecuted. James is writing to a crowd that has been dispersed and scattered abroad. And can I tell you tonight that much like the early church, they didn't exactly know what to expect. Amen. After all, Christianity was a new establishment. Amen. The church was a new body. Amen. And they were facing things that they had never faced before. They had left the comfort of Judaism. They had left the status quo of their religion, and they had followed a Galilean preacher who many thought to be just a good teacher or a good social reformer, but they hung their faith and they staked their lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they suffered persecution because of it. They didn't understand exactly what they were facing. They didn't know what was coming next, but I'm glad that James was able to write with them with some assurance in verse number 3. He said, "No, knowing this, amen, that the trying of your faith worketh patience tonight. Thank God that when we face trials and we face temptation in life, we don't know what's around the bend. We don't know what's around the next corner. No, who can tell what tomorrow holds? But I'm glad in times of unsurety, I'm glad that there are some things that we can count on. I'm glad that there is a God that we can trust. I'm glad that there is a promise that we can cling to tonight. And there is some guidance for the trial. I'm glad that when our world is upside down and we don't know which way to go and we don't know what tomorrow holds, I'm glad we can trust and know in who holds tomorrow. Amen. There is some guidance provided for the times of temptation in our life. Notice that assurance. In the midst of what we don't understand, thank God that there are some things that you and I can know tonight. Amen. But we see the assurance. And then I consider this the authenticity. He said that the trying of your faith. You remember what the old preacher said? They said that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted tonight. Amen. What good is our faith if it is not able to carry us through the difficulties of life? What good is our faith tonight if we only rejoice when we're walking in the sunshine and we're walking in the light? What about those times of darkness when we can't see in front of us, when we don't know what's coming down the way? Thank God there is some authenticity concerning the trials in our life. And we'll say more about that later tonight. But we see the assurance. We see the authenticity. But then God uses trials in our life for our advancement tonight. Look at what he said. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's a purpose for what you face. There's a purpose for what God allows in your life tonight. It was Job that said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I take. Job said, when I look behind me and I look ahead and I look beside me, I cannot find him. And while I don't know which way I'm going and I don't know where I'm going and I don't have the direction that I feel like I need at the present moment in my life, he knoweth the way that I take. Amen. It is God that is leading you through the difficulty. It is God that is leading you through the trial tonight. Amen. And we need to stop asking why when we go through a difficulty, and we need to turn our attention to who tonight. Amen. Turn our eyes upon Jesus, as the songwriter said. Turn our affection upon things above and turn our attention upon the Lord tonight. Amen. And so there is a guidance when it comes to our temptation. God is teaching us that we can trust him, and in turn God has let something come into our life that God can trust us with tonight. Amen. We see the guidance of temptation. But then number two, I want you to consider this with me, the grace of temptation. Notice in verse number four, the Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, he uses the feminine here when he says in verse number four, but let patience have her perfect work tonight. Amen. I want you to understand, men, tonight, that patience is one of the few women in Scripture that you and I are commanded to submit to tonight. Amen. We are to let patience have her perfect work in our life. Why? That you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing tonight. Now, you men tonight, bear with me, but just as we might avoid the idea of submitting to a woman tonight, amen, you can relate with me on that. Just as we might avoid the idea of submitting to a woman, we also would naturally avoid the idea of submitting ourselves to the trial and submitting ourselves to patience during that difficulty. But it is through this process tonight that God gives you and I the grace to endure, and He takes impatient, impenitent, and incomplete people tonight, and He passes them through the fire in order to refine them and to mature them tonight. Amen. God will give us the grace to endure what God allows to come into our life. Now, none of us are excused from trials tonight, and we'll all be faced with the test. But sadly tonight, not all of us will pass it. Not everybody responds the right way. And as you and I can tell tonight from the Scripture, there is a scriptural and a biblical way to respond to the trouble that comes into our life. There is a scriptural way that we are to respond to the trials and to respond to the temptation and to respond by going through the gambit of God refining our lives through difficulty tonight. Amen. And I'm glad He allows you and I to trust Him tonight. Amen. James encourages us, but let patience have her perfect work. Why? So that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing tonight. Amen. I want to be complete. I want to be what God would have me to be. But unfortunately tonight, you and I cannot be developed into who and what God would have us to be without the difficulty of life. If everything was sunshine and roses all of the time, we would forget what it is to depend upon the Lord. We would forget how dire and how desperately we need Him tonight. Amen. And if it was not for the darkness, we would not appreciate the light. If it was not for sickness, we would not really appreciate the soundness of health. If it was not for difficulty, then we would not know the splendor and the joy of smooth sailing tonight in our life. So there's grace that God gives to us tonight, and He instructs us that we are to be patient in the difficulty. We are to let patience have her perfect work. But then notice this with me tonight. We see not only the guidance, we see the grace, but this is really where I want to labor for just a few moments tonight. We see the growth of temptation or the growth of trials. Notice what He says in verse number 5. He encourages them tonight to let patience have her perfect work, to endure through that trial, endure through that difficulty, because there is a purpose in it tonight. But then notice in verse number 5, He said, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack the understanding, if any of you lack the ability to comprehend and to grasp just exactly what is going on when you go through a difficulty, He encourages us and He tells us this in verse number 5. He said, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now God does not reproach those that will come to Him. Just like in salvation, the Bible declares that there is a call that tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you come as a believer with a sincere heart tonight and you really desire to know more about your Bible and know more in your walk with God and to have understanding, the Word of God tells us tonight that God will not upbraid you, but God will give to you liberally tonight, and it shall be given him. He said in verse number 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. He said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's a strong statement. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He said, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. So when reading through this chapter, it's almost seemingly as if this stanza of verses here kind of doesn't make sense and doesn't fit. He goes from talking about trials, and then he jumps back in to verse number 12, and he says that we're blessed if we endure temptation. But what do these verses have for us here in the middle? Verses 5 through 11, there are some interesting subjects that he deals with in light of temptation tonight. I want to discuss those for just a few moments tonight. Number one, whenever you and I consider trials, he then again encourages us to have wisdom to understand, and if we lack that, we can ask. But that wisdom given is wisdom to grow. It's to increase our faith. It's to increase our faithfulness to the Lord. But whenever we consider the growth of this temptation tonight, number one, I want you to think about this when you think about trials and in light of the text. Number one, I look and I see that trials secure us. Trials secure us. Look what he said again in verse number 6. He said, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." Now, if there's ever anything that we could realize about some immature Christians, oftentimes you'll find that they have problems setting their roots down. They'll go over here for a little while, and then they'll go over here, and it's like they're seeking after something, and they never really get rooted and planted everywhere. Now, that's not everybody, but certainly there are people that you can think about where you have seen examples of that, and they never really plant their roots anywhere. They're always bouncing around tonight. But you let that individual begin to go through a trial and begin to go through difficulty, and when they make it through and they come out on the other side, God uses the difficulty in their life to help them plant some roots and to gain some maturity in their life. And so I'll say that trials secure us. He said, nothing wavering. He said, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. They're here one minute and they're over here the next, and there's no stability in our life. But the trials bring a certain maturity to our life that nothing else can. You can read your Bible, you can go to Bible college, you can do all those things, you can get married, you can have children, but the school of difficulty is a precious time in our life, because there are things that we learn there that we learn nowhere else tonight. And so trials secure us tonight. Number two, trials sober us. Look what he said in verse number 8. He said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways tonight." Amen. Trials not only secure us, but trials sober us tonight. They help us to be sober-minded about walking with the Lord. They help us to be sober-minded and realize tonight about what is important in life. He illustrates it in verse number 9 and verse number 10 with the brother of low degree. And then in verse number 10, the rich man in verse number 10. And so trials not only secure us, but trials sober us. They help us to realize what is important in life, not to be double-minded. Now, here's what happens to us tonight. We all know that life just happens. There are things in life that we can decide. There are things in life that we can control. But there is a vast amount in our life that we have absolutely nothing to do with. As we've already said, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's coming down the line. And there are things that just happen to us, and that's about all they do. All we can do is just receive what is happening tonight. But the idea of a double-minded man, it carries this idea of indecision. Sometimes these circumstances choose us. We don't always choose the circumstance. And what we have to do, we have to depend upon the Lord. We have to ask in faith. We have to seek after the wisdom, because listen, whenever we are going through something tonight, God doesn't want us to be double-minded. You ever met those people that are just indecisive? Boy, it's fun being married and trying to decide what you're going to eat, amen, isn't it? What do you want? Well, I don't really care. Well, what about Ochar? I don't want that. What about Zach's? I don't want that. What about Mexican? Ding, 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 we have a winner. Amen. That has replaced fried chicken as the Baptist staple food in America. Amen. I hate Mexican food. It's all the same stuff, and they just arrange it different ways on the plate. But it's this double-mindedness that James is dealing with. And here's what happens when difficulty comes into our life and trials come into our life. God is desiring for us to make a decision. You say, what is that decision? It is to trust Him tonight. Because you can stand there and you can just let it happen, and pretty soon the circumstance will just choose a path for you and make the decision for you, and you're there standing holding the consequences tonight. But if you trust God in the trial, you get something out of it. You mature. You grow. It helps to sober your mind tonight. Joshua told the children of Israel before they went into the land of Canaan for that possession that God had promised them. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. I thought about Elijah being up there on Mount Carmel, and all the prophets of Baal and all of those came together there for that showdown on Mount Carmel. And here is what Elijah said to that crowd. He asked them a question. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Amen. I want to be on God's side tonight. Amen. And if I'm going through a difficulty and I want to go through a trial, thank God I want to be on the side of the one that can help me. I want to be on the side of the one that can guide me through the difficulty tonight. Amen. You ever find yourself in a circumstance you don't know what to do? When you don't know what to do, let me tell you, this is real, real simple, but yet it's profound at the same time. And we may say it's elementary, but why in the world do we struggle with it so bad? You know what you do in the midst of a trial? Just choose to trust God. Just choose to serve the Lord. Just keep on keeping on. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you know is right, because pretty soon you'll come out on the other side and you'll be better than you were when you went in. Trials secure us. Trials sober us tonight. And then can I say this? Trials not only secure us and they sober us, but they settle us. He said in verse number 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. How is that brother of low degree exalted? He's not exalted by worldly wealth. He's not exalted by having a fat bank account because he goes through a trial. That's not at all anywhere in the text. But that brother of low degree is exalted in the fact that he has grown and he has matured in his faith. But on the other side of that coin tonight, look what he says in verse number 10. He said, but the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. You ever seen those people that, boy, they love their things and they love their possessions, but boy, you let something happen in their life. You know what God is doing to that Christian who is trusting in his things and trusting in his possessions and trusting in his toys tonight? Boy, you go through a trial, you let some child get sick, or you let some great difficulty come into that life. God is teaching that individual, that man or that woman, he is showing them tonight who and what is important in their life. Because just as that brother of low degree, he's already poor. But he can rejoice because he's exalted. But that rich man can rejoice because he's made low. God has used the difficulty in his life to humble him tonight. I want you to think about this lastly, the goal of temptation. Look with me in verse number 12. James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Thank God there is a goal. I'm glad tonight that though the world may view it, that just bad things happen. No, listen to me. God has a plan, and God has orchestrated every single thing that passes through our life, and He has a purpose for it tonight. Amen. There is a goal for our temptation. What did He say? He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Number one, I want you to see the reality of the goal. He said that this man that endures is blessed. Understand tonight, there is nothing greater than being blessed of God. There's no greater treasure in this life. There are no greater riches in this life than being blessed by God to know His presence and to know His power and to know His touch. And can I tell you tonight, God is not going to bless those that He does not break tonight. And we pray and we say, God, use me. God, I want your power upon my life. God, I want to make a difference in my generation. Boy, we better be ready for the consequences of that prayer tonight. But there is no greater reality than to know His approval and to know His touch tonight. The trials are worth it tonight, aren't they? The difficulty is worth it. We see the reality of its goal and then the reward of its goal. He said, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. I thought this was interesting. We just started going through Bible manners and customs in college, and this crown of life that he is speaking of, it's the crown or the victor's crown. Those Greeks had Olympic games, and that victor's crown was given to that one, much like the gold medal or what have you. That was the prize. That was the goal. That was the intended purpose of running the race, that they could be crowned and they could receive that and receive that applause. And listen, when we come through the difficulty, the world may look at you and they may scoff at you, and nobody matters that your child has cancer, and nobody matters that your world's upside down, and nobody cares about those things, and the world may pass you by and they may kick you while you're down, but I'm glad that there is a Savior who sees every teardrop and He sees every sorrowful heart, and He's keeping a record tonight. And I'm glad one of these days we'll hear Him say, well done. It'll be worth it all. There's coming a crowning day one of these days. And those rewards that we receive, we'll be able to give them back to Him, because it's of His grace. It's of His blessedness that we're able to receive them in the first place. And then finally, the reciprocation of the goal. Notice what he said in verse number 12. He said, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. You know what trials do tonight? You know what turmoil does in our life? It gives us a greater appreciation for the Savior. Gives us a greater love to be rooted and be grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Because if anybody understands what affliction was, if anybody understands what it was to be tried, and I'm so thankful tonight for the verse that tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen, Jesus understands your difficulty. He knows where you're at, and He knows what you've been through, and He knows where you currently are, and He knows what you're gonna go through, and He knows what it is to be despised and rejected of men, and He knows what it is to be reviled. And even God the Father, as He was on the cross, turned His face away from His darling Son, and Christ was forsaken in the greatest trial that He would ever know, so that you and I would never have to feel that shame. We would never have to experience separation from God tonight. Amen. And so what the trials do, they draw us closer to the Savior. And I'm glad tonight that we don't, and He's a good God, and He's a wonderful God, more than we could ever say about Him. We could never exalt Him enough and magnify Him enough tonight. But I'm glad that we do not have a Savior that's on the other side of the valley and on the other side of the ditch saying, come on, come on, you can make it. What's the matter with you? Don't give up. Don't give in. I'm glad that it's not like that. But the great picture of our Savior concerning trials is this, is that He's not on the other side waiting on us to come through, but He's down in the ditch with us, and He's down in the valley with us, and our steps are His steps, and His steps are our steps, and He's with us every step of the way. Hallelujah. Can God trust you with a trial tonight? Would you learn the lesson that God intends for you to learn concerning the difficulty in your life? Let's stand tonight as they're preparing a song. Maybe you need to come, give you an opportunity to respond. been good listeners tonight, and thank you for that. Amen.